You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, December 23rd, episode 3589, brought to you today by Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse people.
Have a horse and pony Christmas. They're our best friends all the year. We won't know if we will show or drink a mug of beer. Have a horse and pony Christmas, and when you trot down the street, say nay, nay, you great big bay, while begging for a treat. Whoa, whoa, the Christmas show, trot your way to me. Your horse will wait for thee under the Christmas tree. Have a horse and pony Christmas, horse radio loved by all. Tune right in and take a spin, and Merry Christmas all. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Well, that was one of our terrific listeners, Elizabeth Francis. Thank you, Elizabeth, for that. Merry Christmas to everybody out there. This is our last show that we're recording for the year. We're going to have some best ofs for you, and there'll be some brand new Tuesdays and Thursday episodes. But this is it for Jamie and I. Then we're off till the second.
I know you're super sad, and I kind of am.
Very upset.
I don't. I think I'll have to start therapy this week because I don't have y'all to talk to.
You can do it. We have a couple of guests today. Aaron Coley's going to join us to talk about a venting side saddle, like it wasn't hard enough already. Adam Snow and Shelley Underdunk, who's a vet, is going to talk to us about their book, Winning with Horses, and the importance of both horse welfare and winning. And both of these guests were postponed from earlier in the month when I lost power and things. So Merry Christmas to everybody. And in our post show, we're going to have one for the auditors. We're going to do our final taste testing. And this one is the snacks of history. And let me tell you, some of them are pretty weird. We're going to have some guests, though, aren't we, for that? So,
yes, I have wrangled two children, Anna and Lucas, and Chad will be doing
testing
as well. I can't wait for him to try the lavender sour candies. Why? He hates lavender and he hates sour candy. So it's going to be awesome.
I can't believe they sent us another one of those. They were so bad the last time.
Oh, yeah. This one is not pine tree flavored, though, so maybe it'll be better.
Hey, we watched the movie Red One. That's the one with Dwayne Johnson and Chris Evans and Lucy Liu and all. I mean, it has a big cast in it. Did you watch
it? Let me stop you.
Yeah.
In the history of the world, you and I typically are at complete opposites on most things, like television shows and movies.
Especially television shows and movies.
Did you like it?
We finished it. We did finish it. Once I settled in my mind that it's basically a Marvel movie at Christmas time, then I got through it and I accepted it for what it was. And it's not one I'll be watching every year.
I couldn't finish it.
You couldn't?
Even with Lucas and Anna and Chad, like, we couldn't finish
really?
It. Once they got
this would be right up Lucas's alley, actually.
I know, but once they got to fighting snowmen that are like Thanos level villains, I was like, this is ridiculous. There's just like when you take a snowman, cut it in half, and it puts itself back together, like, what? That's okay.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, but I think that's in the preview, actually. Yeah. So it's nothing to spoil. You know what? I'm spoiling it for you. It was awful. Like, maybe we'll try it again, but oh my gosh, the kids walked away. They were just, I was like, hey guys, why am I watching this alone?
Okay. Was it worse than that other one Snowman?
Hot Frosty.
Yeah. Was it worse than that?
Well, at least I finished Hot Frosty. It just took six times.
Well, you've only given this one one time. So far we don't know which is worse.
That's true. Maybe I'll have to keep going with it and see where it goes. Because I do love Chris Evans. Like, it's a problem. Like, I love Chris Evans.
And Dwayne Johnson's always funny in everything he does. I mean, there was some big cast in this one.
Was it funny?
I like the bear.
I like the guy that wasn't famous or actual worldly real.
I really like the bear. And I didn't realize that Santa Claus with J.K. Simmons, who's been in a bunch of stuff. He's like,
he's so great.
Yeah. And I didn't put it together, maybe because of the beard or whatever. And he was the skinniest Santa in history, too, by the way.
Yeah,
they didn't even bother with a fake pillow. Let's just keep him skinny. He doesn't want to wear the costume.
Well, they explained he burns 9 million calories every Christmas night or something, you know, crazy.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's quality entertainment right there. Mm-hmm. It will not be one everybody watches every year. I will say that. So we agree on that. Well, I tried to look a week ahead to everybody that has a birthday while we're off, and I hope I've gotten most of you. I only went as far as Facebook would allow. Margaret Sparin, Nicola James, Kimberly Watts. By the way, Kimberly Watts heard that she won the gift certificate the other day and was very excited.
Yeah, that was cool.
Beth Hagee, Brenda Nellums, and Samantha Bordet. So happy birthday to all of you. We hope you have a fantastic holiday.
I have two daily winnies. You only have to play it once, though. First off is the people that have been in my life and helped me and kept me sane this entire year. I guess I'll give that to you, Glenn.
Really?
Second would be, but you play a part. Farm Boy? Oh, my God. I gave him his Christmas presents yesterday, and he's off until after Christmas, and, like, I just don't think I could function without Farm Boy. I told him, I go, you just make things easier. Like, I could do it, but, like, he just makes life so much easier.
Do you know how many people that run farms wish they had a Farm Boy?
Oh, I mean, it took years of training, not going to lie, but he's darn got it now. He's good. He's so good. And my husband and my family and just it's been a hell of a year, and I'm excited to start the next one. But the second daily winnie, you're going to love this, Glenn. Okay. So there was a auction fundraiser for Team USA, the paradrivers.
Oh, yeah. I looked at that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they had some fancy, like, racehorse halters, like Plum Pretty, Game On Dude, Hanson. And so I just was like, I'll bid on the halters. I never win halters because they go for hundreds and hundreds of dollars. But apparently in the paradriving community, racehorse halters are not that special. And so what the thing is, these were a collection of a woman who lived in California and no longer needs them anymore, but lost all the certificates of authenticity. Mm. So they're just incredibly nice halters with really fancy nameplates of really nice,
which
famous racehorses.
Or could not have been from the racehorses. Not
exactly.
That we're doubting her credibility.
But you know what? They're super nice halters that I'll use. And so
you want them?
I bid on all of them and I won all of them. I thought I'd maybe get one. No, I got all of them. So they all came in the mail. And I'm super excited. And they are, like, there's like two of them that I will use in my barn and the rest will hang on my wall because they are fit. There's a Game On Dude, a Plum Pretty, who is the mare that won the Oaks. I mean, the ridiculous Game On Dude, like, in Hanson, who's that horse that was white horse that had his tail dyed blue before the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have his halter. So I just saw it on Facebook and bought. And then the halters came, and in the box of halters came a note, a card. Okay. So I haven't gotten permission to do this. Sorry, Sharon, but I'm going to read it. It says, "Hi, Jamie. It's your 59th favorite auditor, Sharon Silva. In case you haven't heard, I'm the Northern California Shipping Division for the USDFD auction. Diane, the runner, heads in a wheelchair, and it's a real pain for her to pack and ship. Thanks so much for buying the halters. You're supporting a good cause. I hope you enjoy them. I don't know what the rules are, but I deliberately didn't clean them and left them as is. If nothing else, when cloning thoroughbreds becomes legal, maybe there's enough DNA to give you a head start." And by the way, there was gray hair on the Hanson halter, and Game On Dude has a lot of slobber.
Yeah, you don't clean those. That's patina right there. No, that's, yeah.
She said, thanks for all you do for the OTTBs, other horses, dogs, and other critters without a voice. Love, hit them, and keep on keeping on. We are all marching towards death, but maybe we can make it there dancing instead. Happy holidays, Sharon. Oh, Sharon, you're now my 58th favorite auditor.
You know she came up with 59.
I don't know.
Do you think all the auditors rank themselves?
I don't think so.
Because Kim's now number one, right? So everybody's striving for that. Right
oh,
there.
Gosh. Yeah. Well, I just, Sharon, that was that fantastic. Was I had no idea that I was, I mean, she must have looked at it and been like, why did I know her? How do I know her? Oh, that's that crazy.
I think she's
the
one
podcast.
That posted it in the auto room, probably where you saw it in the first place.
Oh, maybe, yeah, maybe. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to turn down a good equine memorabilia auction. I mean, that's my wheelhouse right there. But I've been on stuff, but I've never actually won. And the halters came in, and there's a big box. And, you know, I had the box open, and I could see the leather spilling out of the top. And Chad is like, what is that? Like, what do you mean, what is that? He's like, what is that? He points to the box. And I was like, number one, it's for charity. Number two, and I pulled him out and I thought he would freak. He was like, oh my God, those are so nice. And I told him how much I paid. He was like, you got such a good deal. Oh. And I'm like, say it, say it. It's like they were free. He wouldn't say it, but it's like they were free. Cause I mean, like,
how many did you get anyway?
Doesn't matter, Glenn. And she threw in a
well,
little.
It's already
baby
been approved by your
halter.
Husband, so you can tell us.
There's five, and she threw in a full halter too. So six,
just in case.
Just in case. It's so cute. Oh yeah. So anyway, it was very sweet, and I'm happy to support them. And I
well written.
I would have been more.
Way.
So well Sharon, you guys are awesome. Thank you for doing that.
It's probably one of the smallest communities in all the horse world, the para driving, you know, so yeah. I'm glad you're supporting them.
Oh my gosh. I had no, let us know about these things. Like anybody who's working for these things, please let us know of that, about different things that need fundraising, and we're happy to promote it. If I would have known, if she would have contacted me about the auction, we would have promoted it on the show.
She contacted me, but I was off for the operation. I think.
Oh, so it's your fault.
It was my fault. I think it was during operation time when I was out.
Well, contact me, people. If you have stuff to sell that is equine related, like I
send
love
it
a good
to
sale.
I buy anything at horseradionetwork.com.
Worm want your stuff.
Speaking of buying anything, no. You also bought this worm flooring.
I did. Oh my gosh, I love it so much. Y'all, well, seriously.
I don't think I'm going to do the ad because you know what? We talked about them endlessly this month because of your floor you put in, but I just wanted to thank them for their support this year. Worm Flooring's become one of our biggest sponsors, and we really do appreciate them. I know a bunch of you have gone out and gotten worm flooring for your trailers. I know some of you have done the roof. The trailer roof. So thank you all for your support of Worm Flooring over the years. If you want to check them out, it's Worm Flooring.
I will tell you something really sad about it.
Yeah.
You want to know something sad? It's like, because it's bumpy.
It's dirty.
I can't sweep it anymore. So I have to not sweep and only blow. Yeah. It's great.
Loving
I don't
that,
have to
you?
Sweep anymore. It's like, it's so, but like even Duke, it's just such a relief to have Duke, who's my 30 something year old horse, walk through the barn. He would just always slip. And I just, he like goes to the barn like, hello. Like he just has a different confidence level. And I'm really excited, thrilled about all of it. So Worm Flooring is awesome. If you guys can get your trailer floor done, they do your trailer roof, they do your barn aisle, they do, heck, I'm about thinking do my bedroom. Okay. Wormflooring.com, W-E-R-M, that's what it stands for. We eliminate rubber mats. I would like to welcome to the show our first guest, Erin. She is a side saddle eventer. And Erin, I'm looking at the pictures of you and your beautiful gray horse comfortably cantering side saddle through the water jump. Tell me a little bit. First of all, you're in North Carolina, so you do all this in the mecca of eventing, which is the Carolinas, Georgia, all of that area, which is fantastic. And tell us a little bit about you and your horse.
Well, I've only been riding side saddle for probably about 7 or 8 years. And the gray horse that you're looking at in the photo, he's actually been going side saddle for only about a year now. I ended up inheriting him from my huntsman. I took him to do a rehab and I just really, really liked him and he suited my riding style. We suited each other really, really well. So I decided to keep him, and bonus, he actually goes side saddle really, really nicely. We were actually able to show at Warrington last summer and he did wonderfully. And he's a really cool old warhorse. He's actually, he'll be turning 20 this winter. He raced for 9 years all across the country and is just, you know, an amazing off the track thoroughbred warhorse.
Well, you are speaking my language of venting and off the track thoroughbreds, two of my favorite things. But side saddle, whew, how'd you get into that?
It's honestly something that I had always wanted to do my whole entire life. Growing up, my dad had this beautiful hunt print that hung above his bed where right in the middle of the print, there was a lady hunting side saddle. And I can remember being a little girl and pointing up to her and saying, "Dad, I want to do that. I'm going to do that one day." And then when I started eventing around the Southern Pines, Sanford area, around the mid-90s, there was a woman who used to come out and event. I very vividly remember her riding, watching her ride at St. George's Quarters, which is a really old, non-existent horse trail in Sanford. But I just remember thinking that she was just the coolest thing on four legs and that if I could ever possibly try to do that, especially her, that I wanted to do that because I just thought that was absolutely amazing. Unfortunately, I don't know who she is, but she just really inspired me. So if she's out there listening, I just want to say thank you. You definitely inspired me.
That's incredible. You don't even know who she is. So like, how did you learn how to do this? And I was waiting for this. So I found her and I took lessons from her. How did you make it happen? It's not something you just go, like, you know what, I'll just throw my leg on the other side. It's fine.
Well, I actually met a lot of women who ride side saddle through fox hunting. I started fox hunting with Mecklenburg Hounds here in the Charlotte area, and we typically will go down to the Charleston area and do low countries hunt weekend in January. And I happened to just meet a woman out riding side saddle. She was the first person I'd ever seen since that one lady eventing. And I went up to her and I was like, "Oh my gosh, I love side saddle. How can I get into this?" Her name is Maggie Johnson. And she told me about this wonderful group of women down in the Aiken area called Aiken Ladies Aside. She said, "You should really reach out to them. They're really wonderful. They do a lot of promotion for side saddle and try to get a lot of people to come out and try side saddle riding." And I was really lucky. One of the last years they used to do these camps in the wintertime through the winter, where it was like a whole week of side saddle riding and training. And I happened to get it on the very last year that they offered that and got to go ride with Susan Sisko, who is just one of the absolute most wonderful side saddle riders we've ever had. Unfortunately, she recently passed away, but she was one of the first people that I got to ride side saddle with. So that was really wonderful.
So, I mean, at this point, were you still living at home with your parents? I'm going somewhere with this.
I actually had just started my own farm. I had just started my own business. I'd moved to the Charlotte area and kind of just started my new business and was just trying to get out there and do some new and different things to, you know, draw in attention in business. So,
because I'm envisioning this conversation with like, "Hey dad, you know that picture that you had above your bed of that lady riding side saddle? Well, I am going to now do that. It's inspired by you and I'm going to need a whole pile of cash to buy a whole bunch of new equipment, saddles and tack and all that stuff." So
it's all your fault.
It's all your fault, dad.
Tragically, unfortunately, my dad passed away when I was a little bit younger, so he hasn't got to see me in all my side saddle glory. But
he'd be so proud, though. He would be so proud of you. He
rides with me every time I ride. I know anyway, and gets to watch it all, and is very proud. And especially because we shared a special bond with Appaloosas, and that was actually one of the very first horses that I started to ride side saddle on, was this wonderful little Appaloosa I had. So I feel like that all is just a such huge tribute to him. And he would just be so proud for all of that kind of stuff.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, of course he knows you're doing it, girl. Come on. He inspired this whole thing. And then, oh wow, what a beautiful story. So what advice would you give to anybody else wanting to, or let me back up. What is probably the hardest thing eventing side saddle versus eventing, you know,
which
normal
discipline is the hardest? That's what I was going to ask. Yeah.
I have to say, for me, honestly, the dressage is the hardest part because we have to sit the trot the whole entire That is really the hardest part. Normally, as soon as I get done with dressage, I'm like, whew, that's the hard part's done. Now, because for me, galloping and jumping is a little bit
easier.
Well,
to be fair, though, that's true of everybody that rides eventing.
Yeah, right. For different reasons.
Yes, exactly.
So once you're done with dressage, you're like, cool, I'm out. Like, now the easy stuff starts. Okay, that's pretty normal. Exactly. But so sitting the trot the whole entire time, any other big differences that stand out? Because I'm assuming you evented like normal people before this.
Yes. And I actually, really what drew me into side saddle eventing was just to be able, like, I knew if I could get around cross country side saddle, then I should be able to go out and hunt no problem side saddle. So it was kind of like a good testing ground for my side saddle confidence. But really, it's just about the balance. And most people think that riding side saddle, you're literally sitting on the side of the horse, but you're sitting just like you would in a normal saddle. It's just that your right leg is in front of you and your right seat bone is on the right side of the saddle, on the right side of their seat bone, on the right side of their backbone. And your left seat bone is on the left side of their backbone, just like you normally. So I find that's definitely the hardest, is just really being able to sit square in the saddle.
I did take a side saddle lesson, and I mean, it's just a whole different set of muscles. I mean,
yes,
but the balance, it's harder to balance, yes, but it is just a whole different set of muscles. So do you ride astride as well as a side?
Yes, I do. I do both. So I actually probably ride more astride than I do aside. But I try to keep my aside riding up as much as possible, especially when I'm getting ready to show. We're planning on doing Devon and Upperville next year. So we'll definitely be out and about this spring.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, what's the horse's name you're doing that with so we can try to follow you?
Well, I'll be taking two. Definitely the gray horse, the gray thoroughbred, Stay On It. And then I have another Appaloosa named Double the Wager. So I'm going to take both of them as long as both of them can stay fit and sound. So
that's a very appropriate name for a side saddle eventing mount. Stay On It.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, what advice would you give to someone trying to ride side saddle or thinking about it?
Just go for it. It is so much fun. And I really suggest everyone try to do it at least once in your life. It's a completely different experience. And like you said, a completely different set of muscles. It's just a completely different way to enjoy your horse and enjoy the riding experience. So.
Fantastic. Well, if people want to follow you, where can they find you?
At my farm. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, at Storms Haven Farm.
Storms Haven Farm. Liking and subscribing right now. Thank you so much, Erin. We wish you the best of luck, and I can't wait to follow along.
Well, thank y'all so much. I greatly appreciate y'all spotlighting me, and it's such an honor. So thank you.
Merry Christmas, bless you. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Y'all too.
Well, does that make you want to go big jump side saddle into the water?
No, but it makes me want to be friends with her.
I know.
So.
That's cool.
Like, just because you can do it doesn't mean I have to, but I can appreciate you.
And we have so many listeners that ride side saddle too. Jennifer has done it a couple of times when she worked at Myopia Hunt Club. I know she tried it and she likes side saddle. I think she would do that again. I'm not sure that her horse, by the way, she rode her horse for the first time. Her new horse.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Good. I did the obligatory husband thing where I walked along for the first time. And because he's young, he's only four. He's only really had months of training. And he was great. He's just such a sweetheart. He loves me, I think, because all I do is feed, right? So, you know, I'm the food guy. Yeah, I'm the food guy. All the horses love me because I'm the food guy. But yeah, he was great. No, he was terrific. And I think she's ready to go on her own now.
All I think of when you talk about your horse is Jimi Hendrix. All I hear in my head is the song, Hey Joe. That's my favorite Jimi Hendrix song. Hey Joe! Where you going with that gun in your hand?
Well, she's officially renamed him James. He is now James. So
okay, she can consider Joe too, like that goes. So,
all right, why don't you tell us about Purina, and then we'll get to our next guest.
Confidently address your horse's unique weight needs and help optimize their overall well-being with research-proven Purina Animal Nutrition Feeds, designed by passionate equine nutritionists. Partner with Purina to nourish your horse to their optimal body condition. Explore weight management resources for your horse today at purinamills.com/feed-finder.
From the trailer to the show arena, the barn to the trails, and from snowy season to fly season, Tough One has horse owners covered. Tough One offers a variety of tack, horsewear, and stable equipment, all at an affordable price to fit everyone's budget. Their products are designed with your horse's comfort and safety in mind, whether you're gearing up for competition, everyday riding, or preparing for unpredictable weather. Tough One is here to make sure you and your horse are ready for anything. Check out the full range of essential products and ride with confidence, it's knowing Tough One has you covered from head to hoof. Visit Tough One, that's the number one.com. Well, coming up next is Adam Snow and Shelly Onderdonk, and she is a veterinarian, and they're a married couple, actually, and they're going to talk about their book, Winning with Horses. Shelly also, she must know Dr. Wendy, because she's also studied at the Qi Institute. She incorporates Western medicine, acupuncture, manual therapy, and equine sports science, and Adam, I love this, played polo professionally for 34 years, achieving the highest rank of 10 goals. And we remember we talked about how hard that is in polo. He's been on the winning teams for two U.S. Open titles and also competed in Argentina and was named Player of the Year twice. And he's also been inducted into the Polo Hall of Fame. They know a little bit about horses and about training them. Well, hi, Shelly. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Where do you guys live? What part of the country?
We live in Aiken, South Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
On our horse farm.
Yeah, I love Aiken. Yeah. If I didn't live in Ocala, I'd live in Aiken, I think.
Well, that might be true likewise for me.
So now you guys, I did your bio, and of course Adam's played polo forever. You've been in the medical field for a long time in both Eastern and Western medicine. What was the goal of writing a book called Winning with Horses? What was the goal of writing that book?
So it is our second book. And so it is a spinoff from an idea in our first book, which sort of caught fire. And that was this idea that we are a couple who one of us is firmly in the taking care of horses, you know, from a medical perspective, really looking after the horses the best they can possibly be for their physical and mental well-being, horse welfare being first and foremost in my mind. And I'm married to somebody who wants to compete and win on an international, very, very high level in an equestrian sport. And how we did that to both in our marriage, no, and also, but just for our horses to have, you know, these horses that were incredible athletes at the top of their field, who were also, we cared about deeply and did everything possible for them, for their welfare, both physical and mental. And so that kernel of an idea we took and we expanded it into our second book called Winning with Horses. And the idea being that, yes, it is possible to do both. It is possible to win for the horse and to win with the horse.
Little did you know how timely that book would be this year.
That is the truth. So we started working on it, obviously, before social license became a huge issue. Yeah. I mean, not that it all, I mean, all, for me, it always has been an issue, but I mean, as far
us
as
here too at the show, for sure.
Yeah. Just in the common mind, people and beyond the horse world, you know, of how important it is to take care of these animals and really questioning like, well, are sports going to be able to continue unless we really try to sort of change some things. And so the book is not an answer to that question because again, we were working on it sort of mostly before they got published in 2023. So, you know, then it was very apropos, shall we say.
Yeah, then the Charlotte thing came along and the Olympics came along and it brought attention worldwide.
That even, Sir Mark Todd was the real crucial thing that happened after we had turned our draft in, sort of, or, you know, we mostly finished the book. And with that whipping incident that happened and that was exposed, and then of course, Thoroughbred racing has been under the spotlight for a few years now. Yeah, and then, of course, the Olympics this summer.
So I'll ask you the hard question right at the holidays. You know, all the hard things we don't want to think about at Christmas week, right? Because Jamie's a, you know, Monty Roberts certified instructor. Monty's been out there preaching, you know, nonviolence for years, right?
Yeah.
So How do you overcome that in the competition world? How do you get to the point where, I mean, obviously your book is one way of trying, but is it just education? Right. Is it just chipping at the, you know, at the ice block?
Well, I think that the education is the most important thing, because my husband's and my philosophy is that actually when you do good for the horses, you will do better. And so those two things are not mutually exclusive. And obviously we're talking about long-term, not short-term thinking, but, and it's true from my perspective as a veterinarian too, like with the groundwork and the natural horsemanship work that I have learned and that I am continuing to learn and that I've been exposed to, I see it as something that just goes hand in hand with my work, because when a horse learns to be comfortable in their body and carry less tension and be working with a person at their side who is helping them find those places of release, it just makes for a healthier body as well as a healthier mind, but even just from a pure veterinary standpoint. And then it's the same thing with the high performance, where you take a horse that has never had any natural horsemanship before. They might even be already, you know, 7 or 8 years old, and they've come into our program, and Adam works with them, and maybe he gets a little bit help from a professional with that horse, and that horse goes from being, you know, a super athlete to winning an international prize. You know what I mean?
Like, well, and I think that's what it's going to take, right? It's going to take horses in all the various disciplines, because let's face it, every discipline has its issues. So it's not, we've been saying that for years. Every time one of these comes out and, you know, eventing's bad or racing's bad or reining's bad or whatever's bad. No, they all have bad. I mean, that's just part of
it. They all have bad. Yep. And backyard horse ownership has bad too.
Yep. Trail riders have bad. I've seen it on the trail. So, you know. But I think it's actually those horses.
It's not exclusive to anyone's sport. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's those horses winning that have been trained correctly, that, you know, in Monty's case, nonviolently, right? Using that term, but have been trained that way, that get to winning, that others take notice and go, it can be done that way.
Exactly. Exactly. And that comes from better horsemanship, better education. And also, there are some things that industry can do as well. And so I think that regulation, it plays an important part in this, honestly. Like, one of my big ideas or big sort of pushes right now is to sort of think about the welfare from birth to death, you know, the whole lifespan of the horse. And one of the ways that I think that could be affected would be to insist that every horse that's born in this country or that gets imported into this country is microchipped, and then their medical records go with them wherever they are sold, because I think that's an issue that is very difficult for people. People buy horses and there's a lot of obfuscation about their past medical history. And that is a financial decision that people are making. It's not for the welfare of the horse, just directly. And their medical records should go with them. And then they can also be tracked, so that if they get to a point where they're in, you know, getting sold in a killer pen, that the people who have owned them in the past, there's some of that responsibility, and somebody should be taking care of that end of the life issue, whether it's the breeder or whatever. And with technology, it's perfectly possible to do these days. And I think there'd be a lot less breeding of horses for, you know, and then the sort of the throwaway culture, you know, where people just breed horses, and if they don't work out, they just move them on down the road, you know. And that's it becomes a business model rather than I'm bringing a life into this world that we need to be responsible for.
Yeah, and that's hard to legislate. I mean, obviously, it's being done at the international level, and then, you know, microchipping is being done in the competition level in some instances, mm-hmm. right? Not all. But in some instances, it's be done at the competition level, but it's so tough to do it at the local breeder level whose horse isn't going to show anywhere, right? Unless it was mandatory by a vet. If a vet, you know, if it was made mandatory, period, that if a vet sees a horse, it's got to be microchipped,
or
he doesn't do
it doesn't get a Coggins.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a great idea.
It can be like a Coggins.
That's what I was just thinking. It's just
dealing with it from a perspective of like moving beyond these horses as commodities to being an entity of a being, you know, and recognizing that.
I love that.
And I mean, it's a little bit, you know, advanced in thought, perhaps. Most people don't want to think about it that way. But I personally think that's where we need to be moving towards. And because, you know, as long as a horse is, I mean, like I am an amateur competitor myself. I am a competitive person. I did a lot of sports growing up, other sports, because I wasn't lucky enough to do equestrian sports. And I don't see any bad side of horse sports as long as they are taken care of, you know, as long as their needs are met. And as long as there is a birth, you know, lifespan thinking about their welfare. And they're not just thrown away when they can't be used anymore.
That is a great idea of microchipping. I like that idea, actually.
That is. And I will tell you that you are preaching to the choir for me and all the people listening to this podcast. So we got to get outside this world and start telling, because everything you're saying, it's like, yeah, I mean, it's so obvious to us, but like there's people that's not obvious to. I mean, I see it on a daily basis. Obviously, I take off the track thoroughbreds and retrain them. And they've been dumped at a rescue. And like, you know, there's a whole lot of so many different aspects of horse sports. Like the people that just trail ride, and then they've got hunter jumpers, and it's like a whole different existence of people. And then there's the racehorse owners, and then there's the polo players. You've got just a monumental, like, just difference in the world, but the only thing bringing everybody together is horses. So if we can like centralize that, like you're talking about, that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. AAEP meeting next year. We're going to talk about microchipping all the horses before they can get a Coggins. I love it.
I do. But that is the only way that could happen is on the veterinary side. You know, if that's the only way.
Yeah, it has to be legislated.
Yep.
It's the only way. It has to be legislated, just like a Coggins. And then the breed groups, you know, the performance groups have to be enforcers, you know, but they can be. I mean, they've enforced lots of rule changes over the last 10 years. You know, I was instrumental in getting the United States Polo Association to start doing body condition scoring. And so umpires now have the right to say a polo pony cannot compete if they're too thin.
Ew.
So, you know, that's just an example of like, I mean, these sports do recognize now that their existence is tenuous, and that they... If a veterinary body comes down hard and is like, you know, you have to do this, they'll be like, okay, we'll do it. I mean, they will.
And I think you're right. I think the time is also now. If it doesn't happen now, I wonder if it's going to happen.
Yeah, definitely.
Do it. You're my hero. Champion. Woo! Oh.
I want to end with one thing here, Shelley. Sorry we didn't get to talk to Adam today, but tell him we said hello.
Okay, well, I'm trying to speak for him. Trying to say what he would say, you know. So.
Tell him we said I.
The book is called Winning with Horses. You know, people bought their Christmas gifts now, but you got Christmas money. If you got Christmas money, then buy this one for yourself. So what would be the thing that you hope readers take away from Winning with Horses when they're done with the book, is the thing they take away from it?
It's a lot of what we were talking about, that doing good for the horse is also going to do good for yourself. That would be one takeaway. Can I say two?
Yeah, sure.
The second one is just really thinking about this idea that we write about called Umwelt, which is the perspective that every animal brings to the world is slightly different based on their sensory bubble. So it has a lot to do with just biology of like what, you know, wavelengths of light you might see. I mean, the extreme example would be an electric eel that, you know, communicates through electricity, or a bat, which communicates through echolocation. But every creature is a little bit different in what they perceive through their senses, and this creates their reality. And so when we understand that we as human beings are the only beings really who can understand another species Umwelt. And we have the responsibility with we're husbanding these horses to understand their Umwelt and really try to meet their needs. And what those needs are different than what sometimes humans think they are. And first and foremost is space and companionship. And so they need to be in social environments and they need to have some free space, open space. And so that would be my other takeaway.
Well, you can buy the book at Trafalgar Books, good friends over there. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. I'm sure it's on Amazon and all
Thank
the other places
so
too, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, very good. Well, Merry Christmas and thanks for joining us. Have a good new year.
Thank you so much. Happy holidays. It's great to talk to you. Thanks for having me on. Bye-bye.
Well, I apologize. We're talking over a little bit. I think we had a delay there, so I apologize for that. But we were glad we could get him on the phone. We had a little trouble with that, too. But I agree with everything she said. It's just, I wish we could get that, the microchipping. That was brilliant.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard that for all horses. That was...
No, I love that. And I also need to retract a statement. I said a lot of, you know, the people dump off horses at the rescue. Let me back up. That is the case, sort of, sometimes. But I would like to give Nelda and I at the rescue, we have a naughty list and a nice list. And naughty is the trainers that were like... The horses are just a mess, you know, and then we have a nice list. And just this weekend, Juan Padilla, one of the trainers at Remington, dropped off 1, 2, 3, like 2,000 pounds of grain to the rescue because he's taken so many horses there when they've retired that he's not one that dumps them off. He retires them responsibly and then donates thousands of pounds of grain. Like, he didn't have to do that. So nice. Anyway, not everybody dumps all the horses off the rescue. Didn't want to get in trouble.
And not everybody trains their horse poorly either, right? I mean, we were kind of throwing everybody in a lump there, but there's good, but it's when the good trainers and the nonviolent trainers rise to the top that they get noticed, right?
We talked a little bit about the trail riders and the sport horses and the performance people. And just this weekend, I took some horses. We took Barrett's horse Friday. We took my horse Ace and then Anna rode Miles and we went to Lake Thunderbird. And they have some trails around there and it's really horse friendly. And the people that do the organizing of the just did a great job. And they've got some like trail obstacles out, you know, set up. And so, you know, we're trying to get Friday over the teeter totter and Ace is walking over the bridge and there's like ropes hanging and Miles goes to the ropes and it's so fun. And we were so patient. And then this other group comes and they're wearing tie downs and they've got shank bits. And this girl takes her horse up to the bridge and just starts whacking him with the reins to get him over it. And I'm like, and Barrett and I just looked at each other like, we should go.
we should go.
You know, and he was like, yeah, let's go. I mean, so like you see a little bit of everything. And then the next people that we ran into were just, I mean, their horses were lovely and pampered and amazing, you know? And so you just, there's people everywhere, there's good and bad and everything. So, you know, in every sport. And I love the idea of microchipping all of them. That, yeah, you know what? Not microchipped, you can't have a Coggins.
That's brilliant.
How was that not done before?
I knew that the only way we could do it through the vets, but tying it to the Coggins is perfect. And it's not that expensive. That's the other thing. It really isn't.
And I just bought a microchip scanner off Amazon for like $20.
You really?
Yes.
Will it do
They're
dogs?
So cheap.
Does it do all of them? Like dogs?
I did the dogs and the horses. I mean, I don't know how to plug the numbers in to find out who everybody is. That's more science than I've researched at this point. But yeah, I did. I microchipped all the dogs. I microchipped the horse. I scanned everybody and it just works for all of them.
Well, the foundations of a horse's well-being is a strong hoof. That's why Calexiquin, the new daily hoof supplement from the makers of Cosequin, contains key ingredients such as biotin, amino acids, copper, and zinc to support hoof integrity, quality growth, strength, and durability. What sets Calexiquin apart from other hoof supplements is the inclusion of vitamin E and selenium, which provide antioxidant support and membrane stabilization. Put your best hoof forward with Calexiquin. To learn more, go to calexiquin.com. I don't want to end on that serious topic for the year. So we'll end on something else. We had a horsey parade in the neighborhood that we got to go to for the first time. So we live in a horsey neighborhood, a lot of carriage drivers, mostly carriage drivers, actually, and some endurance riders. So they have a horsey parade the Saturday before Christmas every year. And we went up and sat with a whole bunch of our neighbors, been a bunch of new neighbors that we hadn't met before, and sat with them and watched the very short. It was pretty short. There were probably 20, 25 total.
Eight.
No, probably 2025, and Santa
How
was
come
on a...
you didn't participate? Well, you didn't want to bolt through the whole
thing? Yeah, Scooter was not approved for that activity. But yeah, it was great. There was a lot of fun. There were some endurance riders in there. There were minis. There's a lot of driving minis in this neighborhood. They have a little they go around in little packs. There'd be four of them driving together all the time. They go out together. There are minis. There were ponies. There were pairs. There were draft horses. There were a couple big Percherons pulling Santa in a great big wagon. The wagon was really decked out nicely. So it was fun. It was just fun to go up there and hang out with our fellow neighbors. You know, when you have 5-acre farms, you know this. When you have 5-acre farms, you don't meet everybody because you're not right next to each other and everybody has gated entrances, right?
We try not to meet anybody. Yeah. So, I mean, that's good for you.
So it was fun. We had a good time. And I think we'll go to it every year. Maybe Jennifer will even ride in it next year with her new pony. But it was a good time. Well, auditors, hang on. We're going to do a taste testing. And as a matter of fact, don't hang on. Go over to the Auditor Facebook group and watch the video. It'll be on video. Watch it there. It's more fun on video. Get to see Jamie's whole family, too. Yeah. And you all, thank you so much for listening this year. Thank you for being part of our family and for helping Jamie and I still make this the longest running podcast. One of the longest running podcasts in the world. We really do appreciate you listening and being so supportive and so interactive with us all the time and sending things in and constantly being in touch with us. I got a couple of emails this week that were really nice. So this has been an up and down year for everybody. I know it's been an up and down year for us, but we hope that your 2025 is so much better and that we all settle down. We settle in a little bit to a much happier 2025 for all of us. Thank you so much.
I love all of you. Thank you so much for being a part of it. And Glenn, thanks for being you. And y'all have a great holiday and talk to you next year.
All right. We'll see you on taste testing, the other side of this.
Can't wait. Spay, neuter, geld.
One of them is haggis and related, which I don't know what I
I should go brush my teeth real quick. Make it extra special.